I want over these next few weeks to start and look at the life of Joseph. Tonight I want to do a kind of broad look at his life and to emphasize but one simple theme from his life that is important, especially when we look at some of the details in his life. It's a theme that is repeated time and again, especially in the chapter that we read, chapter 39 of Genesis and verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23. The Lord was with him and that which he did. And particularly that emphasis comes out for us against the background of Joseph being in Egypt or Joseph being in prison. And I think there's a significance in the occurrence of that phrase in these places. Providence, if I can start with this theme. Providence is God at work in our daily events and in the routines of our life. Providence is the way he guides and directs us, the way he protects us and provides for us. And in doing so, he brings about the fulfillment of his plans and of his purposes. Now, to be involved in that unfolding drama, on the scale of which God brings it about often, to be involved in that unfolding drama may throw the Christian into the most surprising of circumstances and may test his trust in the wisdom of God severely. That providence of God will bring the Christian believer into tight corners and will bring a heavy responsibility. And all of this can be happening at a fearful pace, leaving us trying to chase after some breath and trying to catch some understanding of what is happening to us. The providence of God. Just at the very beginning of November at our prayer meeting, we were looking at one example of providence in the life of Esther. She was a Jewess in a book called by her name, and she was a Jewess in the palace where there was a plot to kill all the Jews. Humanly speaking, nobody could intervene and thwart that plan except her. For such a time as this art thou come into the kingdom was the challenge that her uncle laid before her to focus her responsibility and the uniqueness of her position to act for her people. But when you look at the book of Esther and the placing of Esther within the palace bounds to do what she could for God's people, you see there the providence of God in that prior planning, placing her ready for the work that she was called to do. Now that's only one example of providence. But when you come to the life of Joseph, his life is full of that same theme and teaching. There are examples and turns of providence almost at every phase, every page, every circumstance in his life. And I want us therefore to look at this man's life over these winter months. And particularly tonight, I want us just to take a broad picture. Because when you identify providence in the life of this man, and when you see the way in which his life was up and down, scattered here and there, at the whim of the Ishmaelites, Potiphar's wife, Potiphar himself, Pharaoh in Egypt, prison governor. When you see all of these factors and people impinging upon his life and directing his way in which he lived and what he did, Some people might conclude, well, his life was just simply out of control. That's the best that some people will say. His life was just being passed from pillar to post all the time. But that's why I want tonight to establish this vital truth. A cord that runs through all of his life. A theme and a truth that he was aware of and that he protected, preserved, and lived by. There was something said about Joseph that is so important for him and the understanding of his life. But also by stating it, it's a challenge to ourselves. And that's this simple phrase, the Lord was with him. When you look at the way in which he was on the helter-skelter of life, when you look at the dip and the dive and the pit and everything else that he went into and came out of, life out of control? No. The Lord was with him through it all. There are some people's lives, and our Bible does it for us, where a little sentence can sum up their character, their life, and their contribution. Abraham believed God. Moses was a meek man. John was the disciple whom the Lord loved. Just little phrases, but they seem to sum up the whole character of that person. They sum up the essence of his life. And these words and phrases, they don't linger on the outside of his life. They go inside to the center and to the relationship which these people had with God. So it is of Joseph. The one phrase, despite everything that's said about him, the one phrase that stands through, that runs through his life like a cord, this one phrase is, the Lord was with him. Everything superficial is cut away. We go straight to the very center and the essence of his life. God was with him. And simply by putting that phrase before us, there is a challenge to us. Things might look well on the surface of his life. Well, at times they look well on the surface of his life. Things might look well on the surface of our lives. But what about what's below? What about when you do like the Lord does, cut through and go to the center and go to the heart? What is the one phrase that would sum our lives up? What is it that God would say about you and me? As he said about Abraham, Moses, Joseph. He's not looking at a favorite child of a doting old father. He's not looking at a slave and a prisoner. The Lord is not looking at a prime minister in waiting in Egypt. But the Lord is looking at his spiritual status and standing. The Lord was with him. And the challenge that brings to ourselves to ensure that the same is said, and especially the same is true of us today, that the Lord would be with us in all of the ramifications of life, that we would not only take him with us, but that we'd be conscious of his presence. That we wouldn't come to any kind of circumstance or situation. That we would never enter upon anything or anywhere where we've got to leave the Lord as a stranger at the door of that experience. That we've got to go in alone to do or to meet with whatever is before us. But that it would be true of us as was of Joseph. The Lord is with us. That we are not ashamed. We're not embarrassed. We're not wanting to hide it. But we're wanting always to make it known. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with you. If that's the theme then that we want to establish, let's just take time to break that down yet further. We looked at David's life, the times that went over him, and we described it as the phases and the stages of his life. And that same description can apply to Joseph here also. Look at the phases and the stages of his life. It was very varied. There were times when he was in the sunshine. There were times when he was living in a foreboding, darkened, shadowy place. But whatever it was, the Lord was always with him. And we have a test there of our own faith and of our own assessment. It is relatively easy to say the Lord is with us on the good days. But the test of our faith comes when we're able to say it, when days are just not so good, when they're bad, even when they're positively awful. The Lord is with me. As a child, 70 years of age, God spoke to him in dreams and in visions. We know that, and we'll come to it presently. The way in which he had the vision of the sheaves of corn. He also had the vision of the stars and the elements and the heavens above him. God speaking with Joseph. And God speaks to us today through his word. He calls to us plainly in the scriptures. And at the beginning of the life of Joseph, with the whole of his life stretching out in front of him, he sets out in the company of his Lord. He was always a more attractive character than his brothers. Think of these words from Proverbs chapter 3 that apply to Joseph. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So here he is standing at the morning time of his life. And he sets out as a child and he walks all the days of his life. As Proverbs tells him and tells us. He walks all the days of his life in the company of his God, the Lord being with him. And so when he comes into the evening time, he can rest peaceful. He may rest content with his God. When he's faced with temptations, placed there, as we read from chapter 39, by Potiphar's wife, it was this very consciousness of God's presence that kept him through it. The same way as we saw this morning, it was the consciousness of the company that Moses had as he came down from the mountain, confronting the people, that made him with boldness stand out and stand up and speak for the Lord. A solitary voice in the midst of a fearful party. The consciousness of God's presence affecting Elijah, affecting Moses, and affecting now Joseph. In young days, young lives today, there is great pressure for young people to conform. And if they stand out, they're often told they will lose out. But Daniel as a youngster, and here Joseph also, they withstood the pressure of society round about them through knowing the presence of the Lord with them. That's what we want for our young ones. That's the prayer that we have for our families. That they and we might know this one vital experience. That we might know the Lord being with us. As a child, the phases and the stages of his life, what happened after that? He became a slave. He left home. But the Lord did not leave him. He was used as simply coinage and as money and trading between the Ishmaelites and later on in the slave market of Egypt. Bought and sold just as another item on the market shelf. But always the Lord was with him. What a radical change there was. What a downturn there was in this man's life. From the home comforts, from the fine clothes, now to be a member of a chain gang, with rough companions wandering and tramping across the heat of the desert. It wasn't comfortable for him. What was the outcome? Whatever we can say about it, he was never deprived of divine company. When the Lord's people, or at least when their circumstances turn down, and when the Lord's people are in extreme circumstances, oftentimes it is in these very circumstances that the Lord not only continues his care as he has promised, but he makes that care obvious to them. He was paraded in the market. The question was asked, and it's hanging in the air for Providence to answer. Who's going to get him? Who's going to take him? Who's going to buy him? Where's he going to end up? But the promise is always there. Hebrews 13, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. And the conclusion of that passage in Hebrews 13 is simply that it leads us to contentment. When the Lord promises to be such to us, and when the Lord undertakes that that's going to be our experience, that he is not going to leave us, yes, even when we're on sale in the slave market of Egypt, then that produces an inner peace and quietness in the life of Joseph. The Lord was with him. When he's a prisoner in the prison, it's not an attractive place, not as it is today. It was harsh, it was hard. And especially it was all the worse an experience for Joseph because he was there knowing that he was innocent, knowing that he was there on trumped up charges by Potiphar's wife, taking advantage of her position to frame him, put him in prison. He there stood, there he suffered. But again he was not forsaken. There in the prison, it was a dog-eat-dog attitude. Every man was out for what he could get, and it was a ruthless existence. No morals, no rules. The fight and the survival of the fittest. And yet, what do we read there again in verse 21? The Lord was with Joseph in prison, and that came to the surface, and the testimony was that the prison governor saw it. And the prison governor gave to Joseph the same responsibility as Potiphar had given. And then again, when we come into the last phase of his life, when he was ruler, there he was in prison. Perhaps the atmosphere sometimes, it can be hard against you. You can easily understand if any milk of human kindness would be squeezed out of him because of the atmosphere and the company he was keeping. There wouldn't be the slightest thought for the survival or the good of anyone else. But not so for Joseph. Even in prison, there was that testimony, and he was advanced. And he became a ruler. But it didn't go to his head. He didn't forget his God. Even there, when he was with tremendous power and responsibility and delegating so much, second only to Pharaoh himself, go all the way onward to Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20, and you'll find there that there is still this awareness of God in the life of Joseph. When times are difficult, very similar situation to Joseph in prison, when times are difficult, today people will pray. And then when times get easy, and when things and the trouble go past them, so often people forget who has helped them and aided them. Not so Joseph. He stayed true to his God through all the perplexing paths of life. And even the very last words that he spoke, he was there speaking in faith because he knew that God was going to come and honor the promise he had given. And so Joseph says, when you go, and go you will, when you leave this land of Egypt, take my bones with you. Take my bones with you when you go to that land of promise. The phases and the stages of his life, the ups and the downs, every one of them, this statement was true. The Lord was with him. What about our lives? We try to direct our lives, yes, and it is proper that we should do that with an exercise of stewardship. That we should organize and direct things. But we must always do them underneath the lordship of our God. We must always acknowledge that He is the one who will direct our lives. There are times when the path that we take suddenly twists and turns, might even leave us uncomfortable, certainly surprises us. But then, when that does happen to us, it is surely the lesson that Joseph tells us and shows us, that we must, especially in these circumstances, when things are upside down and when we're thrown to find anything to hold on to, anything to give us understanding, that's the vital time when we hold on to this truth. The Lord is with us. Because when we hold on to that truth and when we practice it and when we live by it, then there is a completely different perspective on all of our life. When we're in prison, when we're like Joseph was through these lower points and experiences, holding on to that one thought changes everything. What we've got to cultivate, what we've got to ensure today, we won't be tested so much today upon the way in which we can answer a biblical theme or a doctrinal question. We won't be tested severely on giving an explanation of an exegesis of a passage of Scripture. It won't be in these things that we're tested today, but we will be tested how we live out our faith and how we show to others whose we are and whom we serve. Not when the sun's in our face and the wind is on our back, but when the storm breaks and the wave comes and things become difficult for us. These are the times of darkness when those who have light shine all the brighter and attract people to Christ. The life of Joseph, the Lord was with him. And how was he aware of the Lord's presence with him? There are so many different ways. First of all, we can repeat the highlight of the theme of tonight, the providence of God in his life. We go again back to chapter 50 and verse 20, and there Joseph is summarizing all his days. There we are told of the way in which his brothers intended things for ill for Joseph. From the moment that they sold him out of the pit into the hands of the Ishmaelites, their intention was evil, but the Lord worked through these chain events. The Lord worked through these things to bring Joseph to where he was, second in command in Egypt, for the purpose that he would provide food for these people, his people, God's people, in the time of famine. The links of the chain were in the hands of his God, leading him in shadowy and surprising places. God's presence with him as he was aware of the providence of God. We sometimes can refer to things as maybe fortune or chance events. But should we not rather refer to them as tokens of providence? And especially when we talk about all of these things flowing through the life of Joseph, it will always produce something like a wry smile. A wry smile from the non-Christian. Yes, yes. You just believe that if you want to. The providence of God. But to the Christian himself or herself, reading our own book, reading our own events and reading them with the eye of faith, we can see there God's presence with us. His tenderness extending to us. And his blessings bestowed upon us. In all of these different circumstances we're in. Who is it? And what is it that controls our life? It is nothing less and nothing other than the hand of God directing and guiding us. And nothing, but nothing is too hard for him. He was aware of the providence of God day and daily. And that comes down to very ordinary, practical, daily affairs. We already referred to it, it's given to us in this chapter, the seduction that was perpetrated against him. The way in which he was looked upon and acted upon by Potiphar's wife. And what was the response that he gave? How can I do this and sin against God? Even in the ordinary, everyday affairs of the pressure of society about him. The same kind of pressure that comes to bear upon us from society with its sexual innuendo, its blues, and such like. And again, he used this argument to resist. How can I do it and sin against God? When it came to the interpreting of the dreams, nobody was able to give him a meaning of the dream that Pharaoh had. Nobody, that is, except Joseph. And even when Joseph came to do it, he was quick at the very beginning to say, look, I'm not doing this. It is God who is doing it through me. His awareness of God, even in that very thing of interpreting dreams. And at the end of his life, when his brothers were reunited to him, in chapter 48, we see him putting his hands round Ephraim and Manasseh's children. And he says, these are who? These are the children that the Lord has given me. Even in the giving of a family to him, ordinary everyday affairs of life, Joseph was constantly reading them as God's blessings to him and his presence with him. He was aware of God's presence and his providences in the practical affairs of life. He was aware of God's presence and the passion which he himself felt. When you think of what he's been through, when you think by the end of his life, the path that he's gone through, you can imagine, as we've tried to suggest, something of the tenderness and the sensitivity being knocked out of him. The way in which he's been sharing a cell and been through experiences that would have tested other people to the point of breaking and even beyond. But not Joseph. When you go to chapter 45, and there you find him meeting his brothers. And what do we read there about him? Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. Here is a man that still had the passion of tenderness and compassion about him. Here is somebody who still had the compassion of the Lord God with whom he kept company. The sensitivity of God was still felt and experienced in his soul. When the presence of the Lord is with us, it leaves a mark upon us, and we take that out with us into society, into life, the very breath of heaven. We are living in a society where there is so little sympathy, so little compassion and tenderness for those who are in need. But we who have experienced that compassion of the Lord, we who know his ministry to our souls when we don't deserve it, that lays upon us not only an obligation, but it lays a weight that molds our character and makes us like our God. Joseph wasn't the slightest embarrassed. There was no affectation with him. There was no put on. There was no hypocrisy. He spontaneously acted and spoke out of his experience of God's goodness to him. What's the greatest need that we have today? It is surely that very same thing, to have the Lord's presence conscious with us. If we carry on reading from Proverbs chapter 3 at verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." There was Joseph, and all he could say, and it was enough always for him to say it, "God is with me, and God has been good to me." It was something that was seen in the way in which he behaved, detected in the way in which he spoke. It was something that was shown in his body language and his behavior with his brothers, his awareness of God with him. One last thought, very briefly. It meant and it resulted in being a prosperous man. We're told not only underneath the hand of God when he was in Pharaoh, not only when he was in the prison, both of the conclusions come out the same. The Lord prospered him. He got his priorities right. And because he had his priorities right, the Lord added things to him afterwards. Yes, we can see the hatred, the temptations, the pain, the disappointment. Yes, we can see that things were so often going against him, but the important thing was God was for him. And because God was for him and he had that priority of God in his life, the Lord blessed him. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you." And what is the prosperity that we want above everything else? Again, people today mark prosperity in different currencies. A home, a car, a job, a family, a healthy bank balance, health itself. These are the different markers that people use to mark out prosperity. But no, the best way of marking the prosperity the Lord bestows and gives is to measure it in spiritual coinage, in spiritual currency. What is the prosperity that the Lord bestowed upon Joseph, that bestows upon us? To sum it up simply, his peace bestowed upon us. With all the twists and turns of life, There is there the potential for bitterness, doubt, fear, hardness, and such like to develop and linger and stay and influence the life of Joseph. But in all of the battles and fights, in all the twists and turns, in all the oppositions, in all the disappointments, these things, they didn't touch him. Because he had this one experience. The Lord was with him. And when the Lord was with him, he knew the peace of his God about him. What then is the vital feature of our lives? What is the one thing that the Lord would say about you and me? We have the saying, what's the bottom line in all of this? When we cut to the wire, what is it that was said about Joseph? The one thing, the one theme, the one truth, the one experience that ran right through his life, the Lord was with him. And at the end, that's all he needed. That's all he wanted. That's all that we need. That's all that we want. His life was great only because the Lord was with him. And therefore, as we close tonight, we've got to ask ourselves the question, oh, no one's going to write a biography about us. No one's going to put anything of our details of our lives on paper. No one's going to do anything like that. We're not famous. We're not well known. But what about the biography that God is going to write about us? What will God's summary of our lives be? What will the one phrase that may be put upon our tombstone? What is the one thing that will stand true about our lives? Abraham, he believed God. Moses was a meek man. John was the disciple whom the Lord loved. Joseph, the Lord was with him. Will that be what people will say about us? May it be so. Because when we know the Lord in this way, we have the potential and the possibility of being as influential and as effective as Joseph was. Second in command in Egypt. Only because the Lord was with him. And the Lord blessed him. That's all he needed. All he wanted. So true for ourselves. Let us pray. O gracious God and Lord, we bless thy name. We bless thee for the way in which thou dost hold before us the life and the experience of thine own children who have gone before us, and they are there written for our encouragement as well as our example. May we heed well, therefore, what thou dost say to us constantly. May we heed well the lesson that comes down to us through each day's living. And may we endeavour, as thou dost give us grace, to be true to what we've been taught and learned of thyself. Make us to be true to the gracious blessings of our God unto us, that we might acknowledge thee, that we might live for thee, that we might be able to say that the Lord indeed is with us. O Lord, hear us and grant to us that gracious blessing. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and at verse 6. And to me happily the lines in pleasant places fell. Yea, the inheritance I got in beauty doth excel. I bless the Lord because he doth by counsel me conduct. And in the seasons of the night my reins do me instruct. Before me still the Lord I set, sith it is so that he doth ever stand at my right hand, I shall not move be. Because of this my heart is glad, and joy shall be expressed, even by my glory, and my flesh in confidence shall rest. As we sing these words, we may think of their particular application to what we've been thinking of from the life of Joseph.